Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Right now, we say hello to John McClain, who will have a detailed article on Deshaun Watson coming up. He just got done interviewing the Texans quarterback. John, how are you?
Well, actually, I just blew off Deshaun Watson for you guys. He's late coming into the media room, and he was supposed to have been there at 12:45. Then they say he's still working out. He's doing it because it's conditioning. And they said he'll be in here at 1, and he'll be here at 1:15, and he'll be here at 1:20. I said, well, y'all better ask him some good questions.
So he's in there now?
Don't,
do you need
don't
to go?
Don't be jerked around.
Well, I walked away, and he still wasn't in there.
Okay.
So I told him, I said, bring out the center before him so I can get back in here.
Well, as soon as you need to go, just let us know.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not paying attention to it. Everybody's going to ask him the same questions, and starting with his health. We've had J.J. Watt, Tyrann Mathieu, Whitney Merciless, DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins came out. Let's see, is it sunglasses and a hat? And told us he'd been traveling, and we said, where you been? He said, well, I've been in Paris. Have you been to Paris before? No. Went there last year. I love Paris. I said, anybody recognize you? He goes, surprisingly, yes. I didn't know I'd gone global. I said, it's because all that great media publicity is getting Houston, right?
John McClain with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045, our number. Where is Dez Bryant going to end up, John?
I can tell you it won't be Houston. People here got all excited. I don't know why. It doesn't squat. As Mike Florio pointed out, Rashard Matthews has been better than him the last 2 years. And I would guess if he's – NFC East teams know him better than anybody, which means they might want to stay away from him. You know, you can put up with a guy who's a pain in the butt off the field if he's catching 100 balls and – 1,500 yards and double-figure touchdowns. But when his production drops significantly, as Bryant's has the last 2 years as he's gotten older, then you don't want to put up as much. And I don't know why they waited to Friday to cut him. They should have done it before, so teams that needed veteran receivers wouldn't have signed them. Now, I think Baltimore needs a receiver. Cowboys really need a receiver. And they needed one even if he had been on the team. But I'm going to say ends up in Baltimore or Buffalo, because Buffalo needs a receiver really bad too. Hopefully his ego will be such that he wouldn't mind going to a playoff team.
And John, that's what I want to ask you about, with his ego and the way he reacted to being cut. If you're a GM out there and you see that reaction, does that confirm some of your fears of immaturity about Dez Bryant, or does that make you want him a little bit more because of the added level of motivation now against the Cowboys to continue his career? How would you view his reaction to what happened?
Anytime you can get a player on a one-year contract who's angry, you should get the best from that player. But Bryant, he's never been an important route runner. You know, he wants the ball thrown to him, and he'll fight for it. He's not one of those guys you throw open. You know, he wants to use his strength, his size, his experience to outfight guys for the ball. And the last 2 years, he's not had a good on-field rapport with Dak Prescott like he did with Tony Romo. Now, if Romo had still been the quarterback, maybe his stats would have still been down. But it's not like he just had one bad year. He's had two bad seasons. And they'll watch the film and see. If teams thought he could still play, they would be lining up to get him. But he's emotional. He's gonna cause problems behind the scenes on the sideline if he doesn't get the ball. You know, there was a report out of Dallas this morning. He wants to go to the Giants. Well, do they want him paired with Odell Beckham Jr., knowing that kid has some issues too? Now, his buddies, Bryant's buddies, will say it's all about competitiveness. He wants to win. He thinks he can help win. That's why he wants the ball. That's why he's selfish. And that may be. But you're taking a heck of a chance on a guy who hasn't been very good the last two seasons, even if it's on a one-year deal.
We don't know who's calling Monday Night Football still. Schedule probably comes out Thursday night. Report now from Andrew Marchand at the New York Post that Brett Favre auditioned and tanked.
That doesn't surprise me at all. After watching Favre all those years, you know, he's very deliberate when he speaks. He's always got a dip. And
I think he'd mail it in. I don't see him as a homework guy.
I don't see him as the guy who would step up there. And he reminds me of, like, Joe Montana. They gave him a job because they thought he'd be good, and he wasn't. And he was gone quickly. Dan Marino, same way. I just don't see his personality being the kind of guy they want on Monday Night Football. I don't know why they won't go ahead and name Matt Hasselbeck, who we all believe would be terrific.
Other than Hasselbeck, who else are they considering?
I have no idea.
Kurt Warner?
Randy Moss's name out there, Kurt Warner. You know, maybe they're not taking Hasselbeck, even though he's outstanding, because he wasn't a big enough name. You know, look, you know a guy that I'm sure he wouldn't do it, but I don't know what he makes. He's right there in Nashville. I remember when Kirk Herbstreit was first on TV. I'm like, who the heck is this guy? Why would they put him on there? And now he's one of the best there is, I believe. You know, you see a guy who's all about college football, but you never know. Does Kirk have an itch that he might want to scratch in the NFL? Why not at least check him out? The way they throw money around, they're giving Michelle Beadle $5 million to be on a morning show. That's a lot of money. You know, would he consider it for Gruden money? As I told you guys originally, Tim Tebow, I thought he would be instantly recognizable, and I thought he would be good. But I don't think any I've seen are as good as Hasselbeck. And we saw that when he played. You guys saw it up close and personal. He is a natural.
PFT doesn't only push Herbstreit, but Florio says at some point they should just put Herbstreit and Fowler into service and put Tessitore as the number one college team. I mean, if they really think of Monday Night Football still as like their marquee thing, do they think of it as more of a marquee thing than the best college football game that ABC has?
To me, Tessitore is so much better than Fowler.
Well, the ratings were.
But Herbstreit and Fowler together are pretty good.
Still bigger than college. And I tell you what, I've been watching College Game Day for years and years. And if they took him off that, I don't know if I'd be getting up every Saturday morning at 7:30 to get ready to watch College Game Day, which I think is good and as informative as any show on TV at any level. You can't do both. I think about the preparation that must go into that. But I would at least give him a try.
Well, and John, you bring up a good point. If you're ESPN, you're struggling in a lot of areas, you're not going to take away one of your most valuable properties with Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day to add him to an NFL property that he's never been a part of. It feels like, and tell me what you think about this, John, with Tony Romo and his success in year one, doesn't this lead to the idea that there are other former NFL players or guys who are maybe even at the end of their career that would be willing to walk away that would be terrific color commentators right out of the gates? Or is that just simply still such an outlier that other networks aren't thinking that way in terms of Romo and who the next Romo could be?
Well, if you keep searching for the next Romo, because look how long it took for a rookie to step in and be that good and have that kind of impact. The people who covered the Cowboys told me they did not think he'd be very good. But we didn't think Troy Aikman be very good the way he dealt with the media. And Troy is as good as there is. And I think Romo, you got to be careful trying to get the next Romo. I think that's why Kurt Warner would be considered that in his reputation. I just wish, instead of always going after a reputation, go after a good guy. Let Joe Thomas. If Joe Thomas is good, use Joe Thomas. But I still think Matt Hasselbeck would be the best. And, hey, if Matt wasn't enough, bring in Tim. If those two have a great relationship, let them go at it.
Let me give you a guy who's been rumored to possibly leave his playing career to jump into a booth, Jason Witten.
another cowboy. What is it about all the cowboys? Jason Witten is very respected. He's a good talker. But I haven't ever heard anybody up there talking about, man, this guy be a great broadcaster. They talk about him. He could be a great coach. He'd be an ambassador, sit on boards. You know, would he be better than Joe Thomas? The difference is he played for the Cowboys and Thomas played for the worst franchise in sports.
Let's go to the phones and say hello to Bob up on line one. Hey, Bob.
Robert.
Bob, what's up?
Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Bob is not there.
Yep. All right. See you.
Sound like he was about to say something.
I think that might be John.
615-737-1045, our number. 615-737-1045.
John, Aaron Rodgers reportedly frustrated with being, quote-unquote, frozen out of personnel decisions. I mean, we all know that the superstar quarterbacks are going to be of influence with their organization. What's reasonable for him to expect with a new regime coming in, and how much does he just have to trust?
Well, first of all, do we trust another anonymous story like that, like the one that came out yesterday, Brady and Gronk ganging up on Belichick and being tired of Belichick? You know, we hear all this negative stuff, and then when the season rolls around, nothing changes. I could see Aaron Rodgers getting his feelings hurt if they didn't want to consult him or let him look at some film on receivers or offensive linemen or other skill position players. But generally, I don't know of a team. I'm sure Indy did with Peyton. I'm sure Belichick has with Brady, that there are some quarterbacks. They may say, hey, check out this tape. Let me know what you think about this guy. But I also think it's very, you got a very large ego if you think you should be consulted on personnel matters just because you're the quarterback.
John, bidding for the Panthers has reached upwards of $2.5 billion. How high can this bidding actually go in your mind? I think there were three potential buyers currently.
That's, I hope, and you look at some of the owners in the NFL and you wonder, how in the heck did they get in the NFL? These guys don't have a lick of sense, and yet they've made billions away from football. Well, the reason is the more money you offer, the less you, being the type of owner you could be, it's not as important. It's always about the money. It's not just always about the money with players. I don't think for a minute Rob Gronkowski's problem is anything other than money. He's underpaid, way underpaid, with 2 years left on his contract. And this thing about taking the highest bidder, you know, in Major League Baseball, when the Rangers were sold, they had a bylaw that said you had to take the best offer. They didn't want to take the best offer. They wanted the group that Nolan Ryan was with. So what'd they do? They rewrote the bylaw so you didn't have to take the biggest. And I thought that was great. And they went to two World Series with his ownership group. But as far as these guys in Carolina, I've tried to read about them. But, you know, if they bring in a dunce for $3 billion or $3.5 billion, he'll fit right in.
Yeah, and they'll take the consequences along with the cash.
John, the reports are that Kaepernick was at the NFL offices either this morning or
today, I think,
late yesterday. What do you think that meeting was like?
They were deposing him, right?
Yeah. Yes.
He got deposed. He had sat in on the depositions of Texans owner Bob McNair, and I believe was it Seattle?
Yeah.
That he sat in with them, the general manager, John Schneider, and the coach, Pete Carroll. And so it'll be interesting. You know, he's got his attorneys. They got theirs. I've been told that in these meetings, these depositions, it hadn't been contentious like you see on TV shows. They've been very professional, shaking hands afterward. But we all knew this was coming. It was just a matter of when.
John, fair or foul for owners to ask a guy if they're going to sit for the national anthem when deciding if they're going to sign them or not?
And Mike Florio, who's an attorney who specialized in labor law, wrote a really long take about why it's not fair. Because the league could have done something about it three different times. It didn't. And since it's not important to the league, you shouldn't be able to ask. But if I own a business and I've got my customers telling me not to do something, a big portion saying they're going to cancel their sponsorships and tickets and complaining, then before I sign a guy or when I interview him, I want to know, yes, I'd like to know. It's not like it's a business that doesn't get any attention. I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong in Colin Kaepernick not knowing exactly what he's going to do. I think if he signed with a team and did not protest, a lot of people would say he was selling out. He's put himself in a really difficult position, but I don't think he's going to play. I think the longer he goes without playing, the greater quarterback he was. And it's amazing to me, some of his defenders, the way they talk about him as a quarterback, you'd think he's going to the Hall of Fame. Is he better than a lot of these jokers that get jobs? Of course he is. You know, he's not playing because he can't play. He's playing because of politics, and everybody knows it. So I think at the owners' meetings next month in Atlanta, they're supposed to address this. Bob Kraft said at the last meetings he hoped they had a resolution. So that's going to be the hot potato.
Adidas says it'll sign Kaepernick if he gets a job in the league. Is that of noteworthy to you in any way, shape, or form?
No, they could sign him right now. He doesn't have to play. They could give him a deal when he gets his picture made, if he's wearing Adidas stuff. They could go ahead and do it, but, you know, a backup quarterback who might not play, I'm assuming they wouldn't give him a whole lot of money unless he was a starter and he'd have bonuses in the contract. I also think this is a clever public relations ploy by Adidas to get a lot of pub, and they have.
And the dude who walked with him into this deposition today was holding an Adidas bag.
Really?
Maybe they were going to give it to the league's attorneys as a gift.
John, Ryan Leaf had some interesting comments about Baker Mayfield recently. He said that a good litmus test for me is always when I listen to radio interviews or TV interviews, I tend to close my eyes and just listen to the voice and hear the answer. And I always say, if it sounds like the 1998 version of Ryan Leaf, there's definitely a red flag that needs to be raised there. He said that in response to a question about Baker Mayfield. Do you feel that's warranted?
No, I don't believe really. After Ryan Leaf, the biggest bust in NFL history, you know, he's still out there making rounds, doing interviews, and I'm happy he turned his life around, but I just don't put a lot of stock in anything he says because of the way he acted in his career. And, you know, he may hear an interview and hear one thing. You know, all of us could listen and think of something different. It's like a beauty pageant. Everybody may have a different opinion. So, no, that's just his opinion. I've not heard anybody else use Ryan Leaf and Baker Mayfield in the same sentence.
Well, it's mainly Leaf that's doing it. He says the quote, and I think it was more self-reflective on him in the answer. He said, I think probably the comparison with me is more appropriate. The highly competitive, borderline arrogant, angry individual. The biggest thing for me will be how he deals with failure. That's where my downfall was. That's where things began to fall apart.
Well, he had a lot of it.
Yeah.
I'll say that. It's hard to believe that so many scouts recommended him over Peyton. And when they were rookies in 1998, and I was covering the NFL, I went to their game against each other at the RCA Dome, and Leaf beat Manning.
Leaf beat Manning.
Personally, beat him up and down the field.
John, thank you as always, and we will catch up with you on Friday.
I'm hoping they stall Watson for me. Thank you, guys.
Yep, good luck.
I'll let you. Hey, you'll know by what I wrote tomorrow. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. John McClain. Follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL.